This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with David Iskov. David, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Henrik. How are you?
Great. David, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I started in the video game industry organizing undervalued audio assets of original master recordings for the Guitar Hero franchise. From there, I moved over to direct and reorganize the physical archive of a major music label, and then started focusing my efforts on optimizing digitally born content through the production process for that same label, with the ultimate goal being discoverability and accessibility of all assets through the archives phase.
How does a global music leader use digital asset management?
The financial backbone of any creative organization is the exploitation of its intellectual property. Similar to a manufacturing facility, in the most respectful way possible, the organization needs to produce content at a rapid rate in order to compete and keep up with market demand. In the case of a global enterprise with multiple subsidiaries, visibility of the product's output by various groups is essential for the overall efficiency and cost savings of the parent. You can't work in a siloed environment without incurring some form of redundancy or unnecessary expense. With an enterprise-level DAM, we can partition the workflow of each subsidiary to satisfy the privacy that each demands, while also ensuring accountability for all assets as a whole and serving up select assets to other groups as required. Also, by incorporating a DAM with production capabilities, the goal is to utilize it as the repository as early on in the production process, not only after the active market lifecycle of an asset. If this is embraced, there's an ease of flow between the frontline creative production teams and the long-term archiving of that asset, which is usually managed by a separate group.
And David, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
Challenges: getting people to dedicate the time to shift their focus over to a new platform. Unfortunately, a lot of production is handled via offline or disconnected communication tools, either via email or file transfer applications or even personal storage accounts. There's so much risk associated with working this way, but the processes have been established over time, and so people are comfortable operating within that chaos. Adoption requires fully embracing the use of new systems. There's definitely a period of transition in which people feel uncomfortable and confused by the new workflow, but I can't stress enough, it's temporary. And the deeper you dive, the easier it becomes. This is true for any system or new workflow. It's just about convincing creatives to find the time to shift their thinking. Once you get through that growth period, you never look back. You can clearly see the holes in the old way of working, and the newfound efficiency comes quickly.
David, what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Try to stay system agnostic as much as possible. If you can, technology will be adopted more readily. There's something really interesting about the DAM space. Maybe this applies to software and hardware in general. People get so passionate about one platform over the other. They get emotionally tied to a particular brand or company. If a client needs to make a selection, so much infighting and pride can delay the eventual rollout. Most modern DAM systems offer very similar features. Instead of pushing one particular platform because it has certain bells and whistles, really listen to the needs of the organization and cater your recommendations to satisfy those needs. Don't try to sell something outside of a client's workflow. But in general, do try to make recommendations of tools that consolidate assets over their entire lifecycle in order to avoid migration or transfers to additional platforms. Any movement of an asset introduces risk, whether that be compatibility of fidelity or metadata. But obviously, some risk can't be avoided. Assets are meant to be experienced and consumed, so they need to move and be shared, even if it's only with the eventual Martian overlords that aim to colonize Earth in 200 years.
Well, thanks, David.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For more on this, visit anotherdamblog.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. For 180 other podcast episodes, visit anotherdampodcast.com. Thanks again.